Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice.
Next up is public comments. I've got just one public comment before we open it up to the audience. Everyone got this little love note in the mail today from, or in the last week from Cameron County Tax Assessor. And if we could pull up slide number one. That slides I sent you, slide number one.
I get that.
Oh. All right, well, I guess we can zoom in here.
Overhead.
Yeah. Well, I want them to point to this box. Well, I need it, though. I haven't done this in a long time. Where's this thing? Oh, there it is. All right. So anyway, if you look on the back side of your tax return or your tax statement, this is one for Homestead, but here are charts on the back that tells you what the tax rates were from 2020 all the way to 2025. And in this little box right here, you will see the various tax entities, which are defined here. And you will see that from the last 5 years, while the property on this particular property, the value has gone up 88.17%, which is great, I guess. The tax rate for Port Isabel Independent School District is down 27%. The City of South Butter Island's tax rate is down 16.44%. The Cameron County tax is down a whopping 2.86%. We won't talk about Laguna Madre Water District because they passed that bond just recently. And then the Texas Southmost College is down 31.16%. And then if you want to look at what your tax increase is, so that's like, you know, the value of your house going up and the tax rates. Yes, everybody's taxes have gone up. The amount that they paid from 2005, which because we pay based on the value of the houses. South Madre Island, in this particular house, the value is up 43.33%, whereas in Cameron County, the amount of taxes being paid in the last over the last 5 years has increased 82%. And then I just kind of wanted to point out that when people ask about taxes here in South Butter Island, 42% of your tax goes to the Port Isabel Independent School District, 29% of your tax goes to Cameron County, and a whole 13% goes to South Butter Island. So just kind of wanted to clear up that information and let people know where they can look and they can have all this great information about effective tax rates, et cetera. Thank you.
Well, Patrick.
All right, does anybody have it from the audience have anything to say? And if it's about an agenda item, I would ask that you hold your public comments for that agenda item.
Good evening, Mayor, Council members, city staff, and fellow residents. My name is Erin Hartwell, candidate for Place 2. I'd like to address a few concerns that I've made public via social media. My recent Facebook post highlights concerns regarding overlooking committees, taking action on items without background, and having a quorum without proper posting. First, the scoring committee for vetting construction consulting services. Yes, it is involved. It involved the entirety of the council and stakeholders privy to insider information and prior dealings. This wasn't an objective, unbiased group. It raised speculation that decisions serve the council's self-interest over the communities. We deserve fair, open processes, free from conflicts, especially when our tax dollars fund projects we've questioned. Second, I did retract my claim that the workshop wasn't posted, and I did and do apologize for that misunderstanding. However, I will assure you that I did a lot of digging prior to that post and could not locate it. It was later brought to my attention that the potential quorum post was buried in the more news section, which obfuscates the information in a place one would normally not search under. This denies the clear communication, which is due process under the Open Meetings Act. The intent and purpose of the Act is to assure the public is duly notified and has access to that information without hindrance or complication or delay. Obfuscating the notice of the website and posting it on a corkboard on a wall somewhere only meets the formality and undermines the intent and purpose of the law. Therefore, I've issued a formal notice to the city secretary with a 7-day remedy offer to please update the website protocols for clear, prominent posting so no resident faces this barrier again. However, just an hour ago, Councilman Kerry Schwartz responded on social with his own post. I can see why Kerry may have misconstrued my statements as intentional falsehoods. This does not change the fact that the notice was obfuscated within the website and that some feeble attempt to notify the public by posting a notice on the corkboard on the wall outside would satisfy the intent and public of the Act. I do not appreciate Councilman Kerry's false and slanderous statements about my posting lies as an act to gain votes. I will assure you, Councilman Schwartz, that our community wants transparency and someone who will speak up for them, and it will be reflected by our voters on November 4th. I look forward to working with the council for real accountability. Thank you. Have a nice evening.
All right, so that was about item number 6.5. So again, if we have something about an item, let's hold it for that item. Does anybody else have any other public comments they wish to make? All right, anyone from staff have any public comments they wish to make?
Good evening, everybody. Randy Smith, city manager. I just wanted to take a minute to mention, I think everybody knows that Blake Henry has left the organization for other opportunities, and we're missing a few key staff at the convention center while we conduct the next search for the leader down there. And we were fortunate enough to secure a great interim director. And I wanted to just bring him up here and introduce him real quick. He comes with a lot of background, including Visit Corpus. So he's going to help us also write up some organizational structure suggestions and give us some tools for our tool belt for us and the future director to use for strengths and weaknesses and keep the team on staff. He's not here to dig in deep into any of the concepts on the facelift or rebuilding or anything to do with the structure down there, even though he may have some knowledge. So don't beat him up on that. But if you got ideas about bringing business to the island and how we can do that kind of stuff, that's what he's here for, to bridge the gap and help us with all that. It's Brett Otting, and we're happy to have you, Brett. Where are you?
Right here.
Happy to have you.
He's taller than me. Thank you. Say hi. Thank you. Good afternoon, good evening, Council. Brett Otting with Otting Alchemy. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'll be here over the next few months. As Randy said, I've already met with a few of you. I met with some of the hoteliers. We'll continue to meet with people, with staff, with community leaders, with people in the industry as we go over this next couple months. And the goal is to give you a tangible takeaway of best practices and how to run a well-ran destination management organization, and that will be in the form of a report at the end as well. I'm happy to walk through how I'm going to do that report, but I'll be looking at any accreditation standards in the industry and matching how the operations are currently and what could be improved. So excited to be here, and thanks again for the opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Anybody else from staff have any public comments? All right, anyone from council have any public comments?
I do. I sit on the Marina Park project with, so I just kind of sit in as liaison, and I asked Gail to give us a little update, what she'd like to update everybody with. So the environmentalist for the SPI Marina Park, Phil Hanley, has been finishing up the surveys and studies that were in progress when we received our update from Edgewater Resources. Greg was here about a month ago. They are now able to continue with the computer modeling of the habitat islands. And in yesterday's meeting, it was decided that the next meeting will be in about 2 weeks. They'll have at least 1 to 2, maybe 3 drawings to choose from for the layout of the project. So after all that data is collected, they can then apply for an appointment for a joint meeting with the GLO, the Army Corps of Engineers, and Texas Parks and Wildlife. At that point, they will advise what else will be needed to move forward to apply for the actual permit. and we will have another meeting, another update after that next meeting.
Right.
Anybody else? Council have any updates?
Updates?
Or whatever, public comments.
I'll make a comment. I try to stay off of Facebook, but just like to remind the public, if you see something on there or your information, you can call City Hall and get information from Rodrigo. You can call Randy. You can call one of us. But if it's on Facebook, that doesn't mean it's the Bible. I saw one comment. I also saw something in the paper about this council minus one voted to spend $120 million on a convention center expansion. This council has never voted to spend $120 million on a project. Saw another comment. This council voted to send plans that were not eco-friendly to the Cameron County Commissioner's Court. This council has never voted to send plans to the Cameron County Eco or Commissioner's Court. There's just a lot of bad information out there. I would hope you'd be educated enough. Let's get out there and call one of us, call Rodrigo, call Randy, and you can get the facts. But there's a lot of misinformation being spread around right now, and our community is better than that. Thank you.
All right. Anybody else?
Maybe we'll get a retraction for that.
All right. We'll move on to item number four, which is presentation and proclamations. We have 4.1, which is White Cane Day proclamation. All right. So, City of South Padre Island proclamation, White Cane Day 2025. Whereas the white cane is a vital symbol of independence for people who are blind or visually impaired, and whereas White Cane Day, nationally observed on October 15th since 1964, raises awareness and recognition, recognizes the valuable contributions of people who are blind or visually impaired, and whereas the City of South Padre Island is committed to promoting equal opportunities, full participation, and public awareness regarding the abilities to all people with disabilities. Now, therefore, I, Patrick McNulty, Mayor of City of South Padre Island, Texas, do hereby proclaim October 15, 2025 as White Cane Day in the City of South Padre Island. I further recognize the celebration of Blind Fest 2025 on October 25, 2025, and urge all citizens to join in honoring the independence, contributions, and achievements of people who are blind or visually impaired. Thank you. We want to get up here and take a picture.
Folks, I'm Shane Wilson. I'm helping the visionaries with this. There in front of you is Daniel Martinez, who's holding the proclamation right now. Daniel is the first blind Texas Parks and Wildlife angling instructor ever certified in the state of Texas. He does teach angling education. Macarena, are you the chairman of the visionaries?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And it's an organization out of McAllen for the blind as well. Let me tell you a little bit about the Blind Fest. It's the 24th, 25th, and 26th of this month. We're doing it down at the Holiday Inn, Macarena?
Yes, sir.
Say it again.
At the Holiday Inn Resort, yes.
Holiday Inn Resort.
Yes.
The registration is on, folks are coming in on Friday. On Saturday, we're taking them fishing. We're putting them on one of the Murphy's boats. Thank you, Lisa. We are there's art contests. We're taking them down to the art lounge. They're building sandcastles. We're doing a lot of tactile stuff. There is a blind cane walk, and it's either going to be on the beach or down through the entertainment district, and we would like for everybody here to be a part of that. If you are not blind, we will blindfold you and let you experience part of that walk like they do. We are looking for volunteers for that. Most of the stuff is going on Saturday. We're playing bingo. There's karaoke night. A lot of the entertainers or the blind folks that are coming in are very good. You know, we all know Roy Orbison. These people can sing and they can play the piano. So please lend your support if you want to volunteer. Please do so. Contact me. I'm pretty easy to find. My picture hangs in the post office. It's pretty easy to get a hold of me. Also, if you would like to donate something for the raffles or some of the things, please again contact me so we can coordinate that. Once again, I thank you, Macarena. Thank you for this. Please come over here. Yes, please, Macarena, over here. Yes. Come on, walk forward, and there you go.
Besides being blind and beautiful, I'm hard of hearing, so I don't know where you are. I'm looking at that.
Here's a microphone. Turn around right here.
Okay, let me go.
There's a microphone right here. It's right here in front of you.
Okay.
There it is.
Okay. Thank you. I'd like to introduce, there's four organizations being represented today. We have Raul Rojas. He's representing the National Federation of the Blind, the chapter from the the NFB is the largest organization of blind people with over 50,000 members. We also have Alejandra Perez. She's an advisor with the Disability Chamber of Commerce. They work and help individuals who have any disability acquire a job, get the skills to go back to work. And then, of course, Daniel Martinez. Daniel is doing an awesome job with the Fishers, but also he works with kids. And I work with the Visionaries, the Blind in Action, and our slogan is connecting the community with the blind and the blind with the community. And so this event, Blind Fest, is full of different activities to promote networking with the blind. We have people coming from Dallas, from Austin, from Houston, so it's going to be wonderful. Expect a lot of blind people going around the island, driving everybody crazy, because we're here to do everything that we can. And we want the island to realize that blind people are also open to any fun activities. So if you all have a business, you know, be prepared, because blind people will be here. Thank you so much.
You're good.
I want to thank everyone here at San Padre Island for welcoming us, not only today or the next weekend. We're here for the Blind Fest 2025. I've been here fishing throughout my life, and this community has been welcoming every time I've been here. Every time I've brought blind people to fish at San Padre Island, we have an amazing time. We're looking forward to training. We're in contact with the Chamber of Commerce here at San Padre Island. We're in contact with you guys. We want to conduct annual trainings to raise blindness awareness so that this community can be more inclusive and so that blind people or people with any disability may recognize that San Padre Island is the place to visit. Thank you.
I do want to say one more thing. I like the mic. Thank you, City Council. Thank you, each and every one of you, for doing what you have done in the past for the disabled communities and for opening up your hearts for this proclamation and this organization. This is the inaugural Blind Fest. We will be having more of them, but there's a lot of other folks with disabilities that we will be pushing to bring in. And I appreciate the cooperation and the support that I have right here. Ladies and gentlemen, please give them a hand of appreciation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Shane.
Thank you.
All right, we'll move to 4.2, which is presentation of Walk for Women Recognition Award. Reese?
Cheryl, would you come up here, please? Lisa.
Okay, all right. My name is Cheryl Hill. I'm with Walk for Women, and I am joined by members of our leadership team, Mary Jo Camp, Jules Wilk, Lisa Graves, and Reese Langston. Every October, when pink-clad people take to the streets, we know that they're in good hands, and that is because of the efforts of the City of South Padre Island, the fire department, and the police department. If not for you, this event would not be safe, it wouldn't be organized, or would it be an event of joy? And that's what you provide by what you do. And I thank everybody at the police department, fire department, and the city for making that happen. It is my honor, speaking for Walk for Women and speaking for these women behind me, to present to the city, to the fire department, and the police department, plaques of appreciation, which are just a small token of our heartfelt gratitude for what you have done for us over the past 22 years to make the Walk for Women Breast Cancer Awareness event possible. So with that said, I'm going to turn it over to Mary Jo, Lisa, and Reese to present the individual plaques. So,
okay. Is there anybody to present it to?
Yeah. The first one is to the fire department. Jim?
Jim?
Can you come up here?
Hi. Awesome. It's with gratitude to the South Padre Island Fire Department and EMS to thank you for standing ready with us and safeguarding the well-being of our walkers. Your care keeps our annual breast cancer awareness walk strong. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Claudine. Oh, good. Perfect. Thank you, guys. Come on up here. With gratitude to the SBI Police Department, thank you for standing with us during the Breast Cancer Awareness Walk and ensuring our walker safety. Your presence makes our continued success possible. Okay, in appreciation of the City of South Padre Island and city staff, your dedication, cooperation, and care ensure the success and safety of our annual Breast Cancer Awareness Walk. We gratefully honor your contributions.
Everybody.
And I would like to add thanks to the support of the entire community for what we do every year. We had our biggest walk ever. We estimate we had 700 walkers, and we had 250 to 300 people at our casino night, which is going to raise a lot of money for what we do. Over the years, since 2003, we've given over $712,000 to women in the Valley who are fighting breast cancer. This year alone, we've given out $70,700. So we couldn't do it without the support of the community and the city. Thank you.
Okay. We'll move on to item number five, approved consent agenda. I'm going to pull 5.1 and 5.3 out. Is there a motion to approve
Switch the order.
Switch the order. Okay. First off, we're going to vote on 5.3. Is there a motion to approve an excused absence for Councilmember Joe Rico from the October 1st, 2025 regular meeting? Is there a second? All in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed? All right, motion carries. Now, is there a motion to approve 5.2, 5.4, 5.5, and 5.6?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay. All in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed? Motion carries. All right, 5.1. The only reason I'm pulling that out is because, you know, people start using words like transparency and talking about how we're not public about stuff. Well, every single city council meeting, 5.1 or 5.2 or 5.3, there's going to be a line item in there, which is approve invoices for payment for the city of South Padre Island. This week, the invoices that we pay are around 31 pages worth of details of every check that was going to be written over the next 2 weeks to vendors, to employees, to retirement systems, to insurance, to every check's in there. We have a lot of checks to Texas Attorney General for child support. We have all sorts of checks that we have to write every month, every week, every 2 weeks. And it's always on the city council agenda. So with that being said, is there a motion to approve 5.1?
Motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second. And I'd also like to state that the on our front page of the website is our financials, the financials and the audit that was done for an outside auditing firm.
Okay. All in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Next, we'll go to item number six, which is 6.1, discussion and action regarding a beach and dune permit for the dune mitigation at 8600 Breakers Boulevard. Christina.
Good evening, Mayor, City Council. Christina Baburka, Shoreline Director. So a couple months ago, approximately 760 square feet of dune vegetation was damaged without a beach and dune permit. A notice of noncompliance was sent by the General Land Office, so this permit is for that mitigation. The applicant is proposing to mitigate native dune vegetation at the line of vegetation, as well as placement of sand fencing. They did request to use a tractor to drive through the dunes within this permit application to place hay. That is not permitted per the Texas Transportation Code. This was discussed yesterday at Shoreline Task Force, and they did recommend approval so long as the Shores works with our department the next time they need to place hay along their paths.
Okay. Anybody have any questions? Mm-hmm. Have any comments?
Mayor, can I?
This is that beachfront property in the Shores?
It is actually their access easement that is just south of the condominium complex at the very north portion.
Very south, yes. Los Corrales.
Yes.
Right,
yes.
There along that wall.
Okay, thank you.
3 foot wall.
Lines involved?
That's what I was doing.
You know?
I don't know if they've if we've issued any fines for this, but they can be fined for this. And the General Land Office can fine them up to $2,000 per day for the offense until it's, but I don't think they've done that.
Right. Just curious.
May I ask that this permit is just for them correcting the situation?
Yes, that is correct.
So nothing happens to them about
causing the situation, no fines, no penalties. They could just mow down dunes and nothing happens.
Right now, that's the we have not fined them, and the GLO has been working with them. And I guess that's where we had thought the fines were going to come from, was from the General Land Office. My understanding, you know, this happened, what, 6 months ago?
A couple months ago. The GLO sent them a notice of noncompliance, and they can fine them. I don't think they have. We also can issue citations. We have in the past. I believe I was working with the court system to try to issue one. I don't know if one ever got sent or not. I need to follow up on that. There was quite a few violations during this time, so I need to follow up to see if this was one of the ones that was sent.
Okay, I just find it, you know, as a city attorney, disturbing that there's really no incentive for them not doing this unless they're fined or citations are issued. That's just the way I feel about it.
Agree. There were lots of communication regarding this and a few other bad actors that seem like they're asking for forgiveness rather than permission.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. So, okay. Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Any other discussion? All right, hearing none, all in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
All right, I'm going to move up 6.3 to the next one, which is discussion of possible action to rename Water Tower Park as the Joe Buck and Mary Jo Camp Island Legends Park. Reese, Joe, Lisa, I don't know who wants to speak about it.
Reese is going to.
Do I get public comment now or later? Yeah. Anyway,
Introduce your item.
There are those of us on the council that would like to rename this park. Joe Buck and Mary Jo Camp moved to the island in 1978. Joe Buck just celebrated his 80th birthday, which means he was 33 when they settled on the island. They subsequently opened Dolphin Cove Oyster Bar, which those of you that have been here for a long time know was an island institution, and everybody loved it. Joe Buck served on the city council, and his priority was getting curbs and gutters and getting a restroom at Water Tower Park. He is responsible for the fact that we have a brick-and-mortar restroom at that park. Mary Jo is a graduate of Leadership Laguna Madre Class 6, and she and Joe Buck, together with that class, were responsible for getting the private funds. The city didn't pay anything. It was all privately funded for the Causeway Memorial that you now see at the foot of our bridge. Given their service to the city, we want to rename the Water Tower Park to the Joe Buck and Mary Jo Camp Island Legends Park.
Motion to approve.
I just have a kind of a quick question.
Can you state your name, please, for the
My name is Laurie Coker, and I'm a resident and the chair of the Parks Committee. Good evening, Mayor and Council. The Parks and Keep SPI Beautiful Committee met earlier today, and we were a bit surprised to see two park-related items on tonight's council agenda. I understand the committee doesn't have to be informed or involved, but I just wanted to ask for clarification on whether items like these might typically come through the committee for review or input before council takes action.
I think the reason that they're on here is because of the fact that they were very instrumental in making this park what it is today, and we wanted to honor them. I don't know where, you know, parks and beautification fits into that. It's a name for a park. So anyway,
just asking for clarification. That was all.
Well, that's the, you know, three council members asked us to be on the agenda, and so that's okay. Where it ended up.
Perfect. Thank you, Mayor.
Comment on that real quick. First of all, thank you for serving and going to all the meetings. Okay, I know that's a lot. We like to share a lot of stuff. There's some stuff we can't share, especially when it comes to land purchases.
Okay.
You've been part of some of those discussions before, and people like to snake in and take land that we want for y'all to build something with. But that's a part of the reason.
Okay.
With that said, I want to make a motion to approve.
Well, I think there's somebody else behind.
She can still talk. I'll just make a motion.
Kathy Willingham. I'm also on the Parks Committee. And we are currently, I don't know if y'all, I think y'all are aware of this, we're doing a lot of discussion with SpaceX and have asked them for a lot of money, quite a bit of money, to go into redoing this park making it a rocket park to go along with it. And, you know, we're talking $250,000 to $500,000. I don't know that it's a good time to name it after somebody else and have a complicated name on it when, you know, we're trying to change it up and look at something different. I'm not saying that it absolutely will happen, but, you know, throwing a name on it right now, I think would really stump our plans. I'm just wondering if this was vetted or if it was just, hey, let's do this just for the heck of it. But when we're busy working it as a committee and having meetings with SpaceX, all of a sudden it gets changed behind our backs. So I don't know. Was this vetted out? Was it done according to the protocol?
I'll comment on that. We've been working on this for about 3 years to make that land purchase with the intent of adding that those courts there.
No, the name the name of the park.
There's been discussion about a year now.
For 3 years?
One year on the name, we've been talking about that. If SpaceX, we've also asked for money in the past. If they want to come in and build a park, we will find some land right now, and we'll get you guys to work.
I'm talking about the park that's there right now.
If they want to come with $250,000, we'll find some land. And you give you all the naming rights for
it. That's not what I'm talking about.
I'm a little concerned. So you're telling me that the Parks Committee has been having negotiations with SpaceX naming a park without coming to council regarding it?
No, I've been talking to them about contributing to the park that we're working on, but I don't want to go back to it and saying, hey, you know, we've named this park after so-and-so, and they're like, well, I thought we were going to call it the Rocket Park. I thought we were going to call it the Space Park.
Well, my understanding was that there was some people talking about wanting to do a playground area and make it a space motif. That was my only understanding with it. And now you're coming to council without ever telling us that you've been having backdoor conversations with SpaceX regarding something like this. And I am very concerned that a committee is going out and negotiating on or working on behalf of the city without letting council know.
No, we don't.
Well, anybody hear about this on the council today, besides today, that SpaceX was looking at making $250,000 to $500,000 investment?
No.
We haven't set an amount. That's the amount I would like them to give.
Okay.
And that's the amount we're hoping they might give. But we haven't set an amount, but we're talking to them and drawing up plans and hoping they will contribute. We had no clue you guys were going to name this something else. And that kind of puts a monkey, you know.
Well, I agree, but I had no clue that we were talking to SpaceX on a committee level either. I didn't know that those conversations were happening, and I'm very concerned about that as well. So that brings up two different problems right there.
Mr. Smith knew we were talking to SpaceX. Our meetings we've talked about that are public, you know, they're public announcements or they're recorded.
It just sounds like there's more negotiations taking place than I thought there were. So
yeah, we're a long ways away, but you know, this would probably put the cajitas on it if it's turned around and changed the names completely. Another situation we have, I'm fine with the pickleball courts.
Okay, but we'll move that. That's 6.4. That's a different item. So we got to keep the conversations to where they're on point. Like right now, we're talking about the naming of the park. So we'll bring up the pickleball courts on a different level. So you'll get a chance to speak on that item. I want to keep them organized as they are.
Well, Joe had brought it up, so I thought it was already up. Okay.
Yeah, no, I was going to correct him, but then we kind of got back on track. Okay. So
well, I didn't know. I thought y'all had to vet something for a situation. I didn't know this was vetted. And I didn't know you can change it automatically like that without going to vote. So,
and I can appreciate the concern. I recall back when we're building Tompkins Park, and at the time we were going to name it City Park, or we're looking for an investor to come in, and it could be, you know, we're looking at AEP, a bunch of other, you know, AT&T, all those guys.
HEB, whatever.
HEB, that'd be great. Doing the same thing, making a huge donation, but what happened, the gentleman came forward and said, let's name it John L. Tompkins Park after the Tompkins family, and we're like, well, that shut all that down. Yeah. So I understand.
Okay.
All right. We have a motion.
There's a motion.
I'll second.
Okay. All righty. Any other discussion? All right. Hearing none, all in favor, please raise your hands. Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Next up is 6.2, which is a discussion and possible action on a request from Republic Services unscheduled price increase due to rising disposal costs at the Brownsville landfill. Ray, if you could take the podium and give everybody the bad news that you're asking for.
Right. Well, good evening, Mayor, council members. I appreciate you guys offering the time up, Mr. Smith, to come and speak. And this is a request. This is, as you mentioned, Mayor, a off-schedule request for the price increase. Unaware and without consideration with their largest customer, which is Republic Services, the city of Brownsville increased their prices on some of their stuff over twofold. For example, we no longer get a discount for clean brush or any prongs that we would segregate. That's not given to us anymore. That price went from $18 per ton to over $43 per ton. That's over two or close to 2.5 times more. And on the just the regular municipal solid waste, which is your regular household trash, it went up by 75%. Now, we are not asking for that rate of increase. Obviously, this is only specific to the disposal cost. And Republic Services is not making any money off that increase. It's simply asking for approval on a pass-through amount. I know it's a little small, and I apologize for that. We've got on the third page, I believe, actually the fourth page, it shows a little bit of the pricing, but just so it's a 7.33% increase for a household or a residence that has one container. So it goes from $24.43 to $26.22, or $1.79 per month increase. On the commercial side, because this is a more commercial heavy, it's just the way it works out. It's more there's more tonnage that comes from the commercial on that end throughout the year. So that on a 2-yard container, it's $5.38 for every 2 yards that's increased, and that's the monthly rate. On the industrial tonnage, those are the roll-offs, construction bins, that kind of thing. That's just a simple 1868. So whatever the increase was that we got, we're requesting that we allow to pass through to the residents and the commercial customers here. If you can continue to the previous page shows that over the last couple of years, I know there had been some question, somebody was speaking to Facebook posts and that kind of thing. This is the only increases that have been granted by the council over the past, since 2023. The 4% did go into effect in February, actually March 1. And that's why we're here again on and off schedule, right? Now, just in the interest of full transparency, the contract is coming up. That'll end in the end of February. In the meantime, we do request the approval of that increase that you see on the second page, I believe. The third page. Second page, not including the cover page. So the residents would go from the $24.43 to $26.22 per month. They had not given an increase in over 20 years. We weren't privy to it until we were told by it. And this was actually on September 16th that we were told that it was going to be going into effect on September 19th. Now, one of the issues that's been brought up by other cities, and you guys are not the only ones affected. We've got Los Fresnos, Port Isabel, Laguna Vista, Rancho Viejo, and parts of Cameron County, rural Cameron County, that will be affected by this. The question was by another municipality, why do the residents of Brownsville not get the same increase, right? So, and you know, there's no parity there, so I don't know the answer to that.
Well, going back to your slide, it looks like Brownsville only gets their trash picked up once a week.
Right, right. No, that's correct.
They're paying $22 for picking up their trash once a week.
Right.
And then you're asking us to pay $26 to have our trash picked up twice a week.
That's correct.
Okay. So, I mean, I can see why, you know, I mean, once
right.
a week.
Right, no, and my point was more on the disposal end. That question was posed to us. That's why I'm sharing that with you.
Yeah, no, I understand. What is the average household producing trash a year? One ton, two tons?
Well, there's, on average, of 46 pounds a week.
46 pounds a week.
Okay. Right. Now, that differs. This may be a little heavier sometimes.
So a ton and a quarter. Okay. Yeah.
Depending on the time of year, right? There's going to be more. Yeah, especially in a...
Christmas, with all your boxes and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, or a tourist community during the summer and the spring break, that kind of thing. Okay. So, respectfully, we ask for the approval on this. I'd ready to take any questions or any stones that could throw in my way.
Where's the longevity discount? Aren't we your oldest customer?
In fact, I discussed that with our GM this morning, and that's why I brought up the point of the renewal, right?
And so, I mean, regardless, it's going to happen is their contract's up February 2026, right?
That's correct, sir.
And that's when you're going to come in and say, hey, this is the new rate. I mean, that's...
No, this when, so...
No, I'm talking about, like, if we did not accept it today...
Yeah. It would present...
It would be presented in February 2026.
Right, and, you know, again, and with full transparency, this would be the opportunity for the city, if they see fit or if they're not happy with the service, that this would be opened up. And we understand that there's that risk. We feel confident that it's a fair... Like I said, we're just passing the price on. We're not adding a profit margin onto that or anything like that.
I will joke that probably some of us or all of us have already gotten the bill in the mail,
yeah.
I'm guessing.
Yeah.
It was a prorated amount, but, you know, yeah. So.
That is 100% my fault. This is something, like I said, they have not issued this in over 20 years, any type of price increase.
Right.
I put it on the same distribution list that I normally would,
right.
Which prompted a trigger on the back end of the business office to do that. So my apologies for that. Now, if... the council, you know, sees fit not to grant us this, all of that will be refunded.
If for those who have paid or whatever.
Correct.
It might be, or applied the next year. Well, I guess you have to refund it. All right. Anybody else have any questions?
Yeah, Mayor. You know, Ray, I'm one of your biggest cheerleaders. Years on any given Saturday and hear things. Always the positive, but when I got hit the other day with the bills that had already gone out and they opened them, it's like, what is going on?
And again, that was
and I,
my fault. I was the one at fault.
Well, it's higher up. I don't want you taking all the blame, but something's amiss.
Yeah, that was me. I was supposed to have come here before, and like I said, there was just, it's a automated.
It just happened so quickly, and there was a lot of moving parts, is what you're saying. Yeah.
So my apologies for that.
And so you're looking at, what, a $20 a year increase is what it comes down to?
Right.
$1.79 times 12, $1.80 times 12.
That's correct. Now, I do have some more positive news, you know, referring to the weekend things. We are... which is kind of crazy. We won the commercial contract for Brownsville, which is great news, right? And they knew this, so it caught us off guard. But along with that, we are going to be able to provide the commercial cardboard recycling services as far as South Padre Island. So we are going to be providing that in the Brownsville market as well. So
Lord knows we produce a lot of cardboard on South Padre Island.
Yeah, liquor boxes.
Amazon and whatever. All right, does anybody have any other discussion? I mean, it's trash. We got to do something with it. I'll motion to approve the increase. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right, any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed?
Opposed.
Okay. All right. Motion passes.
Who abstained?
Joe did.
Okay.
Thank you.
Got to get rid of trash somehow. And I don't want it piling up on my front doorstep. So, All right, 6.4 is discussion of possible action regarding the development of the pickleball court concept, construction phases, and to approve a budget amendment from the general fund excess reserves in the amount of up to $70,950. John, can you do your little show here real quick?
Yeah, they're pulling it up for me. Good evening, John Wilson, Assistant Public Works Director. We've got a little show here and some choices on what we could do with the park. Here's our current setup of the park with the half basketball court, playground, and everything, and then the water tower. The newly acquired property is 60 by 120 foot lot. Here's a plot plan of the property showing the AT&T building and some of the utilities that are in the way and trees and posts and stuff. Here are two mock-ups to be able to install three courts and some parking. The drawing on the left, the north-south court orientation with the two parallel parking spots, and then the east-west court orientation with the six pull-in type parking spots. We can also fine-tune this if you guys would like. And here's a budget. It would be an in-house public works project. We'd sub out the concrete and stuff, but we'd purchase all the materials and everything and do all the organization and logistics of it. And here's the original plans, the full set size, if you want to look at the peripherals of it. If you have any questions, Alex and I can answer them.
How does the cost compare to what we spent to build the ones that we have today, taking into account that it's years later and prices have gone up? Is it comparable?
It's comparable.
Think it's about more expensive, less expensive?
It's about the same, pretty close. When we're doing it in-house, we're just buying concrete, rebar, and chairs and things like that. This one's 70. I think we did the other one for 90-something.
Oh, okay.
And, but it has bathrooms and shade structure, two shade structures, and a little bit more space, and it's four courts.
Thank you.
We'll be in below this number.
The beauty of this is that you've already got the bathroom facility
right
there.
And, right.
You know, we did propose it to be a dog park, and then we were told that it was too small to be a dog park, and we pivoted. I mean, I was kind of going back to my emails to see when I had the first conversation with AT&T to purchase this property. It was about 3 years ago. It was a lot of work to get them to the closing table. And, we went through different ideas and the pickleball seems to be very, very, very popular. We've already got some lighted systems over there for the basketball courts, and possibly could light the pickleball courts here. It fits. My only thing is on your pyramid design is I'd say you put the parking, instead of putting it parallel, you put it in the right of way like the other parking's in the right of way. And if and when we redo that street, we can just shift that 25 foot wide street over. When we redo it, and that'll still leave us room for that pull-in parking there. And you maybe move that back court back, and that gives you the three and that kind of triangle deal, move it back just a little bit more. Does anybody else?
I'm looking at it, and we have three pickleball courts with four players. And if we only have two spots, where do they park? That's why I'm also in favor of the pull-in parking, because then you got six spots.
Yeah. And then that gets you to your number there, and then we can work out what we need to on the street there.
Down the road. I mean,
I don't even know where that street is on the list of things to get repaired. It's probably
way down. It's not in bad shape.
Yeah, you'd have to.
Yeah.
Don't want to put you on the spot there.
But, we can make things work right away. So, you have any comments?
I also like design two with the six spots. You know, we're valuing parking now at 23,000-24,000 to go vertical. So I think those six spots, that's a nice addition. And I don't want to, I know people are going to use it. Mm-hmm. Someday the Baptist Church might develop their land across the street. And I don't want to create a burden on their property with people parking up and down the side streets. I just think every project we do, parking has to be a paramount part of it. It's got to, that's got to come first. So, yeah, design two with the six parking spots, maybe
we'll do a hybrid where you get the six parking lots on design one.
No, I don't see how that works because those courts are long. When if you orient them northwest, you lose that space to put in the parking.
North-south. Parking on the pull-in next door to it. So
yeah, but I think
that proposal's pushing that parking farther up into the property versus just lining it up to where.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I'm not opposed to that as long as the six spots are there. If we want to, yeah. If there's a, can you do that, John? Can you make those spots parallel with the other six and then have your
I'm gonna let Alex.
North and south design?
Yeah, Alex Sanchez, Public Works Director. Yes, sir, it's possible. It's city right-of-way.
If that's right-of-way, you can make those spots match the other ones. I would vote for that. I don't, you know, which direction the part of the courts go, I don't care. I just, the parking, though, that's a big component for me.
Yeah, we just need more than two spots.
So if you can do design one with the parking parallel to the other spots next to it, I would go for that. I'd also like to, we're at $70,950. I would ask we add another $5,000 to it and see if the Parks Board can come up with some decorative stuff there. If it's shade structure, benching, we can put them to work and see if they can come up with something to do there that makes it complimentary.
Okay.
I've spent more time at that court than anyone on this island. I can assure you that with two kids.
The basketball court to whole court. Then we had the parking out in front of the court like it is right now. That gives us those extra parking. And then we've got two pickleball courts up against the AT&T place.
I would be 100% for that if we didn't have the Tompkins basketball park where all the kids kind of move, like the local basketball rats. My kids were some of them. When those courts got built there, everybody moved there. They're beautiful courts, and now with that shade system, it's incredible. It's a great idea. I know where the kids moved, and I think those should be for pickleball.
You want
to? I completely understand what you're saying, but the kids they like the north. The Tompkins Park is that's an awesome setup we have there now, especially with the roof those guys built.
The meeting you had a good idea about combination parks. Or combination pickleball and basketball. So I think something down the line, I'm just saying down the line. Maybe.
It's something you could look at. I'm
down the line.
Go back to the current plan that we have right now, okay? There you go. All right, you see where that basketball court is? Flip mm-hmm. the pyramid. Put the two pickleball courts up back towards the north. Mm-hmm. Put the single one to the south, shift it over to the side, and then you should be able to get as much room as you can. I mean, you're going to get 30 feet. I don't know if 30 feet's great enough for you or not, but the problem is that if you're running them north-south anyway, all you're going to be left is 30 feet. So that's kind of what I was, you know, if that's what you need on a scale, I don't know how much you need to get to a full basketball court.
It's, you don't have the, we have the width, not the depth.
So you're talking about
flipping it. Take the two, put them up on the top, and then take that center one.
Can you see my cursor? We got a post back there that's a.
There's a utility pole.
Utility pole with the main transmission line.
Yeah, that's how they came up with this design.
We had to kick it over a little bit to the west
okay.
to be able to miss that, and then also get a little bit of space so nobody runs into it.
All right, did not realize there was a utility pole right there.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think AT&T would like to have that connection.
But there's an 8-foot easement back there too.
Yeah, but we can put concrete over an easement. It's not a big deal.
Okay.
So currently there's 14 spots in Water Tower Park about there plus mm-hmm. handicap, right?
Yes, sir.
So that's quite a bit. I'm not too worried about the additional parking spaces. Usually the park is used, people walk in. On weekends, it does get crowded. In the afternoons, a lot of people show up. But during the weekdays and weekends, mornings, all that, local kids are using it. And they're not parking. I don't see a lot of cars there at all. I'm by there every day. So I would, you know, my inclination would go with the three. The utility pole creates a little bit of a hardship. So I was even thinking move that top court over and put four courts and maximize it.
But you can't move the utility pole.
The palm trees would come into play then, too, over on the west side of the lot.
Right.
And the posts. We tried it several different ways. We tried to maximize it.
Yeah, we were there this morning, again, moving stuff around and kind of going through all these designs. But, yeah, I didn't see them. How the mayor described moving those spots like that into the right. It is our right of way. We should be able to use it. So, I would be fine, you know, with design one, as long as we have the six spots added and that they're at the same depth as the adjoining spots.
And just so the public understands. The issue with design two is that the pickleball regulations want you to have your court oriented towards north, south versus east, okay. West. And that's why... That's why we're stumbling into this official pickleball rule regulation deal or whatever and trying to accomplish serve both. So
yes, that's going to
Alex,
be
are you saying you can do the design one with the six additional parking spots?
Yeah, just push
at the same depth. Right. I would make a motion to approve design one at another $5,000 to make it $76,950. Shade and or amenities that the Parks Board can come up with on the back of that property.
Okay. Yes, sir. We can do that. Alex is gonna let us put the parking there.
So your motion is basically to reserve an amount up to $76,000, let's say.
Yes.
Okay, and we have a second. Is there any other discussion?
And I'd like them built before Thanksgiving.
Let's finish up what we got to do at the first pickleball court. We've got a
full plate at the moment.
Okay.
It should give you a little bit of money also on the upper right court on the east side. Maybe do something there, benches and seating, which
Parks can figure it out. That's what they do.
And that goes back to is the reason, you know, originally when we started talking to AT&T, it was to buy a 50-foot lot. And then it was like, oh, hey, let's put pickleball courts there. So that's why we increased the width to 60 feet because the standard pickleball court is 60 by, you know, 30 or whatever, and you could get two in a 60-foot width opening, whatever. So
these courts will be there'll be a little bit of a space between each court. We want to keep them as floating slabs, not one big.
No, you definitely would put some gravel in between them, let water drain and all that fun
absolutely.
Stuff. Unless you're going to do them tension, so post-tension.
And the water tower park itself, they're redoing it. That's on in the plans as well, right?
Yes, yeah. Apparently. So, okay.
It'd be very nice when everything's said and done. So.
Great. All right. If there's not any other comments, all in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Can I comment? Or, well,
I want to say
thanks for your work with the AT&T. I know we've been talking about this for about 3 years, and the mayor, I normally don't like some of his stuff, but he did a lot of phone calls, emails, conversations with AT&T so we could get that land and the extra 10 feet. Thanks, Patrick.
4 years.
What it takes. Thank you. All right. Then we'll move to item number 6.5, which is discussion of possible action to authorize the city manager to negotiate a contract with the highest ranked Tourism Convention Center Development Consultant Services. So I want to address something. Can we bring up the slide here?
IT, can we? Thank you.
All right. So let me explain what a notice of potential quorum is. Typically, typically when city council has certain things they have to do or go to certain events, we have to post a notice of potential quorum. In this situation, so when we do a notice for potential quorum, it is a meeting like this one where we were interviewing people to see who would be the best candidate to help South Padre Island, represent South Padre Island on a development matter. And I'll explain that in a second. And so, you know, there's no action, but it's like a job interview. And, you know, it takes multiple people to interview certain positions on South Padre Island. But no one would ever do a job interview if they thought that the job interview was going to be open to the public and everybody could sit in there and watch the job interview. I would be nervous as hell if I had 350 people or 400 people or whatever during in my interview and having questions from the left and questions from the right and whatever. And so we do this. And in this situation, this is regarding an MOU that the city of South Padre Island authorized and signed for a joint venture slash development with the landowner who owns the property to build a development there on the Schwartz Tract, also known as the Agora property. This property is between Margaritaville and Bridgepoint. It's about 17 acres of beachfront property. The developer, the owner slash developer, had asked us if we would be interested in doing a convention center annex there. Well, our venue tax allows for a convention center annex. So we said, sure, let's see if we can put something together. Well, South Padre Island, we don't have a development department. And, you know, while I have experience with developments, a lot of the other council members don't, and there's probably very few staff members that have that ability. And I don't have the formal time to work in a manner or represent the city in a manner like that. And so the best thing that we do is we go out, we put out an RFQ, and people apply through this RFQ, and they send in their proposal, and they send their information about their company. Well, then you have to break down those companies and see which one's going to be the best fit to represent South Padre Island. So we had the RFQ, people submitted their submittals. We had a meeting, and we created a committee to interview people regarding this development property. The people involved were two members from CVB because it's convention center related. Two members from City of South Padre Island staff, because guess what? They're going to be the ones who are going to be managing it and working with the person. And then it was council, because we've been elected to do our best interest for the City of South Padre Island citizens. And so we all met in a room for 3 hours. We had three different interviews, and then everyone broke away, and they had their scoring sheet, very normal. Everyone scored individually, not amongst any other conversation, about who they thought was who they ranked them in order based on their presentations of who was the best fit to represent South Padre Island. I do not have any interest in the Agora property, nor does anybody else on this committee have any property interest. This is simply for the South Padre Island to possibly develop a convention center annex that would maybe be ballrooms, meeting space, and possibly a theater location, along with what their development, the developer wants to do, which is a nice hotel, 5-star hotel, maybe a boutique condominium complex, and retail. Again, the developer is the one who wants to develop his stuff, and we're trying to work to see if we can make a little spot in that deal work for us and make South Padre Island a better place. So, you know, it's hard when people say that we're somehow working for ourselves when we have no financial interest in this other than trying to make South Padre Island a better place. That being said, we had the 10 people who scored. We had one firm that received three first place ranked first place on three of the 10. And we had another one that received 7 first place votes. And then we had another one that did not receive any first place votes. Hunden was the group that received 7 first place votes, and JLL received the other 3, the remaining 3. It was a very long process, but again, this is interviewing. This is what you do. This is what we've been elected for, is to interview and to to work situations to make South Padre Island a better place. And, you know, if you get a 5-star hotel, that's going to produce probably $1.5 million to $2 million a year in hot tax for South Padre Island. We worked really hard on a qualified hotel project for South Padre Island through legislation, and we'll be working on it again in 2017, because as I've said, that's the reason why Jerry Jones and the Cowboys are not my favorite. Because they killed the one last year on everybody, or this year's legislation session. So, you know, that's where we are. And anyway, that's how business is done. It's hard to be, you can't open up stuff like that because there's a lot of stuff that's confidential, that's being discussed. And, you know.
So I'd like to also point out that there was no backroom deals cut on this.
No,
I got notice from staff, and they sent who the three finals were. I had no discussion with anybody on this committee. Mm-hmm. Nobody called me. Nobody discussed it. We came to the meeting and, you know, vetted, and we scored independently. We went home, or some did it here. We did it independently. There's no backroom dealings on this. You know, the try and destroy the integrity of our staff and council? Mm-hmm. No, sir.
Yeah. And thank you to the staff for all the hard work they did to doing that.
Thank you for everybody who participated in the time to give up that time.
It was a long morning.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Back to...
That being said, does anybody have any motion that they'd like to make?
I'll make a motion.
Motion to authorize the city manager to negotiate the contract with the highest ranked
The one who received the most first
place. The one that
place.
Received the most first place votes.
Hudden yes. Partners.
Hudden Partners.
Second.
Is there any other discussion?
Can you make a comment?
Is the most communication around this that I've heard.
That's
so. Thank you for that. You know, otherwise, you said that land purchases with public funds for public use are not public information. Can you please show me the statutes that say that that information can be concealed from the public?
Most definitely. That's why we have executive sessions. That's why, you know, if you try to negotiate something in the public, like I'm going to try to buy a piece of property. And you're the city of South Padre Island, and let's say John over here, which there's no one over there named John that I can see right now, hears that we're trying to buy that property, they might go and buy that property. And then all of a sudden, we have to pay more because that property.
Right,
now,
but if somebody,
so
but
that's
if somebody asks
that.
You for that for information,
the property
we
raises
are privy
the price.
To that information.
This is no purchase of the property. We haven't gotten there yet.
Right.
We have to hire someone to see if we can even make a purchase happen. So we need someone who has expertise in the matter to represent South Padre Island's best interests. That's what this is about. This
I don't need
about
to be yelled at. My questions are very simple. If you're spending money on consulting agencies so that we can build a potential convention center in a place that we're going to, you know, spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on consulting services, I think it's important for everybody to know how much money
that's
we'll
why
be
we
spending
have city
on
council
land
meetings.
I'm sorry, you didn't understand. The motion is for the city manager to negotiate the contract. Then the city manager brings it back to us and we get to approve or not approve it because we don't know how much it is, but we have to do an RFQ because we can't do an RFP because RFP is where you're getting a proposal and RFQ is getting qualifications. And under state law, we have to get qualifications for
That's
services
right.
like this.
Absolutely.
Then we go and negotiate a contract with right. them. And then he brings it, or in this case, it could be a she, brings it back to city council for city council's approval of whether or not we want to agree to pay the guy $20,000, $50,000, $100,000, whatever that number is. But we can't ask them in the RFQ process what they're going to charge because it's our fiduciary responsibility at South Padre Island is to hire the best qualified candidate, not the cheapest, the best qualified. And that's why we go through an RFQ process. So,
and of course, Mayor, all official formal action is takes place in an open meeting like this,
yep.
as Ms. Langston was about to say, I believe.
Just like we are here. Like, so.
There'll be more.
Mm-hmm. All right. We have a motion and a second.
I think we do.
Correct. All in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Next up is a fun one. Discussion of possible action to approve resolution number 2025-18, nominating a candidate for the board of directors for Cameron County Appraisal District. Ken, you know, you're on the appraisal board, and I guess you want to help educate people on the changes of what they've done with the nomination process?
Well, yeah, now it goes back out, and you've got almost 780 votes that you've got to get from the 44 taxing entities. It's quite an extensive deal and quite a bit of campaigning. I was talking with, I guess it was Randy, about...
Hey, excuse me, Ken, can you move closer to the mic, please?
The two positions that are up were one-year terms. I have a three-year term, or three-year sentence, and that's pretty much in the process. Once we choose a person, then that person goes into the system as far as, you know, they have to go out and get the votes.
Yesterday was the cutoff, but they extended it till when?
October 28th.
Okay. So they gave us like a week's notice to come up with this, and then
yes,
they changed it for us because of the short notice. Is that correct?
I believe overall, yes. So the notice stated that it was due before October 15th, but we can submit it by October 28th, and then they're going to issue the ballot by October 31st, and then we will have until, I believe, the first meeting in December to finalize and council to take vote and submit it back to the appraisal district.
And going with Ken's comment, there's 740 votes, and they're basically brought up or broken out amongst different municipalities have different number of votes. Like
correct, council all taxing entities.
Super number. Harlingen has the second number, or the school districts or whatever, and then we're the lowly down people who have like 32 votes or 34 votes or something like that. I think.
Right. Like on mine was the city of South Padre Island, Laguna Vista, Bayview, and then I picked up 186 from the votes from the county, and then pretty close to 500 with the school district of Port Isabel. We outdid the city of Brownsville and the city of Harlingen, which is just almost unheard of, but you know, we knew the folks and we got the votes.
Do we have anybody who we would like to nominate?
So the sample one is incorrect, where it says the 15th here. It's the 28th is the submission date.
We have
date.
Until the 28th, yes.
They changed it yesterday in their teleconference to explain everybody the new rules.
Yes,
they had a conference yesterday to explain everybody the new rules at the same time that they had the deadline to submit the candidates in, which doesn't really make a lot of sense because – it's like, hey, we're going to tell you everything about how all the new stuff is. By the way, you need your people in today. That's kind of a complicated process there. Seems like there were some balls dropped or whatever in the process. So, but now we get to nominate two or one?
Yes, two. You can nominate two.
But we don't have to.
But you don't have to. This is just to be on the ballot.
So does anybody have anybody that they wish to nominate?
I'd like to nominate Ken Metters, Councilman Metters.
Hold on, he's already on it.
Oh, there's another one.
Yeah.
He's got it.
I got two and a half.
Okay, there's another one. My apologies.
So, I mean, Ken, you know, unless you want to do five, we'll try to figure it out.
Reese is looking out for me.
Yeah. Is there anybody?
Barry
Patel?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anybody else have any idea of anybody they want to nominate? All right.
You know, but thinking maybe a realtor. You know, I think of Lynn Tate. I don't know.
I don't know if she would do that.
Yeah.
I think I'd just keep it at the right. One. Unless you want to keep it. Throw Cheryl in there.
No, hell no. She'd kill me.
She probably would. All right, so we're going to submit one nomination, which will be Barry Patel. Is there a motion for submitting that in a second?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Okay. Any other discussion? All right, hearing none. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay.
I didn't oppose.
There's no other items on the agenda. We are adjourned at